Star Trek 57, M23, take two.
It's the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
What does he mean?
I was stripped of my captaincy for allowing my crew to mutiny.
The whole family was shamed. It was hilarious.
Well, I'm sure you captained with honor. I remember you always screaming about honor. It was hot.
Mach also screamed this morning when he was headbutted by a small tar.
If you were to regain your command, you would be captain of a new ship?
Don't count on that. Mach killed Burke's brother.
Dorg was a traitor to the Empire. I have no regrets.
I'll bet his brother does.
Enough!
A Klingon is not defined by rank.
Oh, sh! If it isn't my old Chadich! Why you been ducking my calls, pal?
You fraternize with Starfleet humans? Bah!
Wow, was that your girlfriend? Ooh, what crawled up her boob window and died? Anyway, what are we drinking? Classic Mach.
What a great show!
What a great show!
What a great show we get
to
watch.
We haven't even done it yet.
Oh. No, not the show we're doing.
Wait, you threw me off. This intro is all weird. What are you doing?
I'm just trying something different. This is episode four.
It's an all of a sudden. We've started the podcast.
Lower Deck season five.
And look, special delivery from the back.
Okay, yeah, so, I mean, you threw me off a little bit there yourself.
Yeah, I threw you off. I wasn't actually going to play that sound first. I was going to play another sound, but since you said that, it threw me off, so.
All because I said, what a great show?
That was your special delivery throwing off the show with your weird intro, and thus you are Patak.
I don't know. I mean, I get what you're saying. I'm interpreting, I think, what you're saying correctly, but I just didn't seem like a weird intro, because I just said, what a great show.
But it was weird. It didn't start...
The Lower Decks is a great show.
I know, but like that's not how you usually say, like, hey, what's up? Welcome to the podcast. When you say, what a good show, based upon our...
He's a Patak automatically.
What a great show.
What a great show. Based upon how we've started the show in the past, one might think you are commenting on our own podcast, being like, our podcast is so great.
Well, I could say that at the end of the podcast, but we don't know at the beginning. Sometimes they're not so great.
I'm just saying, we always begin the podcast with the welcoming to the podcast.
Yeah, and I'm just trying to try something new.
No, but in lieu of that, by not specifying what you meant by what a great show, everyone's going to think you meant the podcast. You should have said, Lower Decks is a great show. That would have been more clear.
What a great fucking show. What if we started that way?
Whoa. No, because then you would
still... What a great fucking show!
No, you're not listening, because then you would still think that we could possibly be talking about our own podcast. Like, you're saying
our... So that's the issue.
That's what I've been saying this whole time, is the issue.
I just wasn't... I'm not sure if it was the primary issue.
What was that? Our own fucking podcast?
I'm not sure anyone was listening. What I was saying was, and I'll say it for a third time... When you start the podcast by saying welcome to our podcast, you set up a precedent. And that precedent is that, oh, they're beginning the show by welcoming us to the podcast. Okay. The first subject we're bringing up is the podcast. So when one day you start by saying, what a great show.
That day being today.
Yeah, considering that in the past, the introductory subject has always been the podcast. One might think the introductory subject would once again be the podcast. And when you say, what a great show, you're saying... What a great podcast we have, which is presumptuous.
Jesse,
in case you haven't guessed, you're listening to the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
I was going
to
say, Jesse, what do you think about all this? All right, how about this? We'll just stipulate to the what a great show. We can go into more detail about what prompted me to say that. Hint, it's because it's an awesome show.
It was quite a good one.
But do not make a spectacle about it.
Yes, let's revert back to the expectations. I feel you, Dan.
Yes, anything, please.
We're just trying something a little different, shake things up, but I didn't mean to, you know, freak everybody out.
I wasn't freaked out at all.
I noticed you weren't.
You freaked this motherfucker out.
Yeah, I wasn't going to make that point, Jesse, but excellent.
Okay. Turn it inside out.
So we'll do the What a Great Show later. We'll start with welcome. Well, to your planet, welcome. Welcome to the It's Got Star Trek podcast. And
if it isn't my old Chadich.
Specifically, welcome to episode 264 of the It's Got Star Trek podcast. Now, first, an apology, because I believe last week we didn't mention that it was the 263rd episode of the podcast.
Skip that?
I think we got a little confused and a little discombobulated at the beginning of the
This is jockey!
That's easy. Yeah.
So I think we forgot the number.
I think we did that this time, too.
I'm not sure if we welcomed people. So we do welcome you to last week's podcast in the event that we did not welcome you, and it is that we apologize.
Sweet and sour hell!
I apologize. It's my responsibility.
Sweet and sour hell.
But this week, episode 264, welcome. So, good.
Matt.
All right. Okay. So we've got some stuff to go over quickly here at the beginning.
I'm not sure about this.
Introductum ups.
Yeah, that's right. So you got your old Patreon. We do have a Patreon.
Prologue-ups.
I
like it.
If you're not in the know, a Patreon's like a cool way where, like, if you've got extra money that you're not using, you can give it to us, and then we provide extra entertainment. It's
a yeasty lump loaf of an idea.
Yes, thank you.
Now, there's definitely such a thing as extra entertainment.
Thank you. I love Dr. Migglymo.
I know you do. Where'd they come up with that name? It seems like that came from somewhere, but it didn't.
It just sort of rolls off
the tongue. It just happened.
Why don't we discuss that?
Sounds like it was it almost sounds like a reference to an old Dr. Seuss book or something.
We'll discuss
that
little bit. But first,
a little bit.
Patreon, patreon.com/ It's Got Star Trek. And get some free previews there. Go check it out.
Aren't they wonderful?
Send you spare money. Send you spare money our way. Because we would like some of that money. Okay.
We'd like some of that money.
Send your money along. Money. Send your money because we like some of that money.
Now, we have a lot going
on. We'll put it back into the podcast.
Jiminy Glick, because he's all talked up like here. And then he goes down.
Down low.
He goes up and he goes low.
Down low.
Okay.
I remember that Jiminy Glick show.
I remember that too, and I remember a whole bunch of other stuff, Dan, but what we also have to remember is this is a Star Trek podcast, and we have a social media post to respond to, we have an email to respond to, and we have a voicemail to respond to.
All right? This is going to be Klingon as hell!
So, first, we got a message on Blue Sky from our old friend Tarek.
Blue Sky.
Blue Sky, by the way, lots of Star Trek people are heading over to Blue Sky.
Blue Sky?
Threads Blue as well, Sky. But people aren't so keen on Twitter these days, so there's been...
There's
been a bit of an exodus from Twitter over to Blue Sky and Threads, but especially Blue Sky, so check it out. Check us out. If you've just gone over to Blue Sky, we are at It's Got Star Trek on all the social media stuff. But anyway, Tarek...
Excellent!
Tarek is responding to an issue that came up last week where Dan...
I'm sure there was an issue.
Dan referenced a thing from The Simpsons, which Dan asserted was a well-known thing. I felt like it wasn't so well-known. Mm-hmm. And so many people have written in to give their opinions. Dan, could you remind us what we are referring to?
Lisa needs braces, dental floss. Lisa needs... Oh, wait, no, not dental. Shit.
Well, okay, we're going to isolate that one. First of all, that's now going to be isolated.
Great.
And put into the rotation.
Sweet and sour hell.
Lisa needs braces, dental plan. Lisa needs braces, dental. I'm totally failing on this one. But what I said is Riker makes faces, Enterprise. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, all right, okay.
I butchered that.
So, did you see the tweet from Sinisera?
Lisa needs braces, dental plan. Right. Lisa needs braces, dental plan.
Anyway, just so we can get to Tarek's message, Tarek.
I insisted that you said it was obscure, and I was like, no way, buddy.
I did refer to it as obscure. Dan claimed it is not obscure. I'm really in no position to be talking because my level of expertise with regard to The Simpsons is moderate to low.
Catch me as I performatively faint.
Yeah, I'm with you there.
But this is what Tarek says. Dan
is low. Relatively low.
Dan
is relatively high, and his is relatively low.
My knowledge of The Simpsons is relatively low.
Oh, don't worry. Okay, Tarek, we're gonna get to it. Maybe. Don't worry, we're gonna get to it.
Yes, anything, please.
Quote, Dan is half correct regarding The Simpsons.
Half.
I recall the Lisa needs braces line, but not the dental plan followed.
Oh, man, that's like having peanut butter without jelly.
The Dune Buggy Chase was the episode where there was a party for captains and exos and they didn't let the Cali class folks in. Now, I think that is a reference to some other comment we made that I don't remember. Do either of you remember us? Did we talk about
Cali class? What?
Well, he's talking about there's an episode of Lower Decks where they do a dune buggy chase.
Oh, yeah.
And they're not invited because the California class.
Yeah, that party.
Yeah.
Wait, are we talking about
when they go to that bar where Spock and Kirk
hung are we talking about like when they went to like the starbase where all the fun starbase, not those starbase this from last week, but before.
You know, you're right. That
there was a chase scene. I was comparing.
They messed up their dress uniforms.
I was comparing when Mariner and Jennifer with the Glumpus, the Katamari chase scene.
Yeah, it was last
and
week.
I was comparing that to
exotic. And I was the best exotic nanite hotel.
And I was comparing that to a previous chase scene from another Lower Decks. I don't know if that's the one Tarek is referencing.
Perhaps.
It might be.
But anyway, so that's what Tarek said on Blue Sky.
I can't believe he doesn't remember that dental plan part.
Well, we also had an email from Isaac. Did I say email weirdly?
Yeah, you said
email.
Like
it sounded normal to me, sir.
Email.
Email.
Isaac from Tasmania sent us in an email. And his email says, "Hi, dinguses."
Hell yeah.
Dan was right.
Yep.
Lisa needs braces. Dental plan isn't obscure. I think about it daily. I would assert that Patrick not remembering it isn't a reflection on its impact.
Internationally acclaimed.
Isaac goes on to say, I would also double dumbass assert that it's that is comparable to I was saying Boo Earns as both a memorable moment and not required at all in the story.
That was extremely honorable.
And then he actually provides a 10-hour loop of exactly this. We'll play that real quick here.
Dental plan.
Lisa needs braces.
Dental plan.
Lisa needs braces.
Dental plan.
I like it.
Lisa needs braces.
Okay.
Dental plan.
I think
Lisa needs braces.
I think I remember
plan.
Him.
Lisa needs braces.
Stop. Dental plan.
All right. And so
no,
that.
No, man, stop.
Wait, play it a little more for a few seconds.
Lisa needs braces. Okay.
Dental plan.
Lisa needs braces.
Stop.
Dental plan.
Lisa needs braces.
Dental plan.
Lisa needs braces.
Dental plan.
Okay, stop.
All right. Thank you, Dan, for permission to stop. So that's a 10-hour loop. That just keeps going. That's a YouTube video. We'll provide that link from Isaac in the show notes.
It's badass.
Isaac concludes his email by saying, maybe someone could have this as punishment. It's me, right? Here's my change up on it, inspired by Dan, factoring in syllables, meter, and rhyme. And so he says, his alternative, what was yours? Riker has a butt face? What was it?
Riker makes faces. Enterprise.
Okay, Isaac has suggested Wesley needs phasers. Enterprise.
Hey, that's better.
Why don't you try it? Because you know the cadence better than I do.
Wesley needs phasers. Enterprise. Wesley needs phasers. Enterprise.
And the actual conclusion to the email is, also, here's a picture that includes my Millpool tattoo that you may enjoy. This will play well on an audio podcast. It's a picture of Isaac relaxing, drinking what appears to be a fine Australian beer.
As plorpful as those in a Nara Prime.
Showing off his Millpool tattoo on his leg. Which I'm guessing if you watch The Simpsons, that will make sense. It does not necessarily make sense.
I don't get it.
So I was right. I was max right. You are so insistent.
Certainly many people agree with you.
I am victorious!
Indeed you are, Dan.
Cool,
indeed you are.
Rude.
All right, last thing before we get to our discussion is a voicemail from Jesse.
Jesse!
Hello to the gentleman at It's Got Star Trek. This is your friend Jesse over at Open Pike Night, and I have a specific question for Dan, now that we all know that he is deep in the numerology world, and its very real effects that it can have on the real world.
So,
I'm just pausing real quick just to let the current week's audience which you should have listened to last week.
Should have done it.
We're covering the whole season, ought to be listening to this in order. But we do recognize
you oughtn't not
kooky, crazy people out there. And you may be one of them. So in case you haven't heard last week's episode...
I'm a bit kooky.
Dan brought up some business about some numbers. It was like nines and threes.
Oh, yeah.
What was it? Stardate or something? Doing
okay, that. There was a Stardate. It began with a 5. It ended with a 7. And it had a 9393 in the middle.
Yeah,
and my argument
was
that 9393 is repeating, and it's surrounded by two prime numbers, both which are separated by...
I remember that.
Both which are separated by 2, and 2 is a special prime number.
Okay. That's the recap.
And I was saying it was a mind puzzle akin to like when you write mind, the word mind, and you write the word matter underneath, yeah. And it's a puzzle, and you say, oh, that's mind over matter. Yeah. And I'm suggesting this is a mathematical puzzle that they want us
what
to
if
solve.
You write the word puzzle on your forehead?
Okay. So, first of all, that was a strange non sequitur, Jesse. Dan, thank you. You, after giving the sufficient overview, you expanded on it.
I gave the complete one.
Yeah, so let us...
The director's cut.
Let us continue Jesse's voicemail.
Dan, my first name has a prime number of letters in it, and the number of letters in my first name plus the number of letters in my last name also equals a prime number. Hmm. I'm a Leo, so I was wondering if you could just kind of, you know, give me my horoscope for the next 3 or 4 months using your numerology magic. Please and thank you. Also, you guys, you talked about Toby Huss, but you did not mention his greatest role ever, which of course is Artie, the strongest man in the world. From The Adventures of Pete and Pete.
Oh, wow. That's
Please
a deep cut.
Tell me that you guys have seen The Adventures of Pete and Pete.
Yeah.
Anyways, really, really liking your Lower Decks coverage. You guys are one of my favorite podcasts ever, as I've said before, and will probably say again. Keep it up, guys.
Thank you so much, Jesse.
Deep
as
cut
always.
With the Pete and Pete.
It is. I was going to ask both of you guys,
what's your familiarity?
My
first name and last name is also a prime number.
Well, you know the thing about now, I don't know.
My name is Jesse.
Now, I don't know about all this numerology, astrology nonsense. I'm just talking strictly from a mathematical perspective.
Have you ever seen Pete and Pete?
But wait, which one are we answering first? Are we doing, because Jesse asked me a question.
Why don't we answer them at the same time?
How about this? Same fucking time.
I'm going to count to 3, and then I want Jesse to answer about Pete and Pete.
I'm not sure about this.
I want Dan to comment on the numerology. All right.
I think I've seen several episodes
of
Pete and
Pete. 1, 2, 3.
I am not a batak.
All right. You did not play along with my hilarious
joke. Listening to his clip.
All right.
Okay. Do we want to try it again then?
Well, let's take turns.
No. Okay. Jesse wants to take turns. Okay. Jesse, you go first. Then.
I don't care.
Did you like Pete and Pete? Did you watch Pete and Pete?
Seems like
Pete and Pete.
It was on TV and I watched it.
Yeah.
And I don't remember that there were a whole lot of episodes of Pete and Pete, but they were. It was on a lot, and I saw it.
I remember.
There were several episodes, but it wasn't like, you know, 100 episodes.
I don't have the specific memories of it, but I remember watching it. I remember enjoying it and thinking certainly at the time that it was groundbreaking.
I can't remember why. I used to work with a guy who's in a band and he played a gig with one of the Pete's bands.
Uh-huh.
I think it was the younger Pete.
Wow, that's pretty crazy.
The younger Pete was in an episode of Seinfeld.
Okay, Dan, provide a 3-month horoscope to Jesse.
I'm not talking...
I like the concept of a 3 or 4 month horoscope.
Hey, like I said, I'm not into this astrology stuff or numerology stuff.
It seems like it's more numerology.
This is not numerology.
What about alchemy?
Hey!
Shh! Okay.
Please. Please. Sorry, I shushed you. It's rude to shush people.
I'm fine with it.
Okay. So I'm not...
My daughter does it all the time.
I'm not into astrology or numerology. What I will say is that you talk about your names, your first name and last name, both are prime numbers. Well, prime factorization is what they use in cryptography. Mm. That's how they make cryptographic keys and stuff. It's the question of prime factorization. The concept being it goes one direction. You can multiply two prime numbers and get a number, but you can't go backwards. It's like really hard to take a number and find its prime factors. And that's how sort of like hashing and cryptography and all that kind of stuff. Hashing is when you take a file or a word, or you take something and you run it through this algorithm and it spits out this long string of characters, yeah, numbers. Baby. Every single file that ever exists has its own hash value, and so it's a unique identification, and this is all done through math. And so, yeah, that's, you're talking about first and last name prime numbers. That's what two prime numbers means to me right now.
Are you suggesting that Jesse from Open Pike Night is a cryptid?
Wait,
whoa.
Do you think he's a cryptid?
No.
Because you keep talking about, you know, cryptography. So maybe he's a cryptid.
Maybe he's a Tales from the Crypt.
Maybe.
Does he have maybe he has a tail and stripes.
Yeah. Well, I can call him, I'll call him.
Did you say a tail and stripes?
And stripes. Well, he's a cryptid. He's a bizarre creature.
Is a zebra a cryptid because it has stripes?
Well.
I can call him the prime Jesse
factor. Just improvising.
I can call him the prime Jesse factor. That's all right. The prime Jesse factor.
Well, that sounds better than
that's, okay. That's what your name is now.
All right. We've done it again,
boys. You're the prime Jesse factor.
We've done it again,
and we've wasted just a bunch of people's time.
That was extremely honorable.
So this, now we'll talk about the episode.
Just in case you didn't figure it out, this has been the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
Yeah, we're going to get right back to it right now.
At some point, there's going to be some Star Trek.
Don't make me laugh.
But first, I want to thank Jesse. Thank you so much, both for the kind compliment and for the questions. We do appreciate it very much. All right. What was this?
Thanks, Agamemnon.
A Farewell to Farms,
yes.
Which is similar to the title of the Hemingway novel, A Farewell to Arms.
Yeah.
I don't know! All right.
I don't know if that's true.
Me neither. Okay, so let's go ahead.
Now, hold on a damn minute.
Let's go ahead and start. And so, is this the appropriate time for me to be all like, what a great episode? God, it seems to have thrown you off again. Is this really weirding you out? Oh, no, I said, what a great show. I didn't even say it right. Is that what threw you off? Because before I said, what a great show.
Ugh, stop being a cock.
Because it is a great episode, but it's a great episode that I think exemplifies the fact that Lower Decks is a great show.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I really enjoyed the episode.
It was a different sort of opening.
I really love the chill sort of relaxed opening, which is always funny to me, like, because it's like a Klingon opening, but it's the exact, Klingons are like the opposite of chill, but this opening was really chill.
Well, they were like goofing on Picard.
A little bit, and also...
Yeah,
but I'm
saying it was funny that it was like they chose the Klingons as the time to do that.
Yeah.
And I like...
Some kind of gawk farm.
Yeah, I was thinking, I was getting like some kind of Luke Skywalker water farm thing. I liked it in the back, when they had the shuttle going across the sky.
Animation.
And it showed the exhaust trail from the shuttle.
The contrail.
Yeah, contrail.
Probably not an exhaust trail.
Whatever. Same shit.
I just, you know, specify.
No, I know you're right. You're right. You're right. You're right. You're right.
But
you are correct.
Not a chemtrail.
The art. Nope. The artwork, the animation, the production design, the writing. I mean, it's all this, brilliant.
No, this was a really good episode.
Cinematic.
I enjoyed all aspects of this episode.
100%.
There was like an A and B plot balance.
Yeah.
And they were both by like trial by fire kind of situation.
Yes. And also the B plot. We'll get to the B plot. Let's start with the A plot. But the B plot, part of why I liked it, it was so stupid. It was just so stupid, but in a genius way. I do not mean that in a pejorative. I mean it was meticulously crafted to be as stupid as possible. They
have manure made from the replicate.
Yeah, I want to know if he literally meant manure or if he was just trying to say, like, it's shit.
I think they meant manure.
I like how the Kloakans have a specific tool that pre-chews their food and turns it into vomit or whatever so they can, like, put it on their tongue like a bird. It's funny to me, like, birds of all creatures, bird people.
They had all kinds of weird implements.
Like, why is it the bird people love to eat delicious food?
Well,
although I'm really, when they were talking about, like, they're on a mission to explore strange new meals. Yes. I was like, I want to be on that mission. Yes. I would love that mission.
I think you would, sir.
I ordered. I remember one time I ordered like pig ear soup at a restaurant.
Yes.
And the server was just like, you're not gonna like that. Mm-hmm. I was like, I don't care. I want
to
try.
You're like, no, I'm going to like it.
I figured it wasn't gonna be that great, and he tried to talk me out of it. But I wanted to order it.
Was
not
it Chinese.
Yeah, I know. I ordered it not because I thought it would taste good. I ordered because I'd never had it, and it didn't. And I would never order it again.
We do these things.
I don't.
Not because they are easy, but because they are.
Because they are new. I wouldn't order it again. I don't need to eat it again, but I'm glad that I tried it. And I got exactly what I wanted out of it. Yeah. It was something new, and I was satisfied.
Okay.
It's like
so you can enjoy a meal without it tasting good.
That guy that has the TV show that, like, from back in the day, and he ate the weird foods.
Andrew Zimmern.
And he had, like, fluorescent shorts.
Are you talking about that skit on Turkey TV where the guy would eat car parts?
No. I'm talking about Andrew Zimmern.
He's talking about Andrew Zimmern.
He, like, took
but
your...
But you really wanted to bring that up, the guy who ate car parts.
You could have had a show like that, but he took it from you.
Do you remember the theme? It goes, Turkey TV,
I remember
Turkey,
that show. I watched that show all the fucking time.
Yes. Turkey TV.
Okay. So, here's the deal.
It was so weird.
We are obligated, because we already said previously that we're not going to talk about the B plot just yet. We're going to talk about the main plot.
I don't care!
There's a lot to talk about. So I'm going to reel you guys back in.
You dare insult me, human!
Turkey TV.
The first thing to mention... At the top of this A plot, even though it comes at the end.
Uh-oh.
Because it is contextually important.
What?
Is that it's now clear that there is a season-long arc involving these openings to other dimensions/alternate universes, right?
Yeah.
It keeps coming up, and people were talking about this, but this episode makes it firm that this is something that's going on.
So Mariner was like, oh, we found some Klingon skulls, and we're going to return them to your Klingon Skull Museum, which was a ruse. Well, it was a front when she really just wanted to find some kind of space hole anomaly thing. Yes.
Space hole.
You anomaly.
Said space hole.
I said space hole.
We're gonna play a song. I mean, play a pithy clip.
Hologram.
Yeah, you gotta push the fucking button, man.
No, I don't think I got this crip.
What?
This crip.
What
I got this crip.
What are you talking about? You got any bloods?
What is it? No, I don't think I. Oh, here it is.
I mean, it's a really interesting hole.
That's what I was looking for.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I was like, because you just had a puzzled look on your face.
I couldn't remember where I put it.
he had puzzle on his forehead.
I mean, it's a really interesting hole. No, man, stop. No, man, stop.
Indeed.
No, man, stop.
One person, at least on Reddit, I think, suggested that maybe the setup at the end of the season, they're going to go through an alternate universe and turn into live action.
Well,
like a reverse Strange New Worlds, those old scientists type thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Who knows? We'll see. Yeah. But something to follow, right? We've touched on this as well in our coverage of the season thus far, but something to follow to see where it goes in this fifth and final season.
And there's also been a theme of Boimler's facial hair. Do you think he'll have a full beard by the end?
I believe so. Hopefully. And not just the joke of him growing a beard trying to pull a Riker or an alternate universe Boimler, but that along with every little sprout of beard, he's doing more and more brave things, more reckless. Yeah. Not reckless, but you know, whatever his interpretation of the heroic Riker style.
It will
officer.
Be my greatest challenge.
And it's coming in purple, or is it, he's dying at purple?
He's dying his mustache purple? He's got purple hair.
Doesn't he dye it purple?
I don't know. He seems to just have purple hair.
Paint your bald spot?
I thought he had said that he dyed it purple.
Paint your bald spot?
That's a Don and Mike joke.
Yes.
We did it.
Larry King, Don and Mike joke. Okay.
My hair grows.
No, the beard business.
What you gonna do? I got the beard business. Gonna go to the sky. Go beard business. No wonder why.
That's way too much.
Well, I gotta tell you, the Boimler beard business is particularly funny because not only is the beard coming in patchy. In parts, in other parts, is coming in thick. He's got like a drawn-on mustache style, sort of 1970s porn star mustache. Yeah. That's actually coming in pretty well. And then it's all wispy and weird on the other bits.
1920s bootlegger.
Yeah, but so I wanted to mention that context at the beginning because obviously it is a bit of a switcheroo at the end where it turns out that the entire A plot was set into motion because of, as you mentioned, Dan, Mariner's and Starfleet's need to investigate a hole, a space hole that they found within Klingon
holograms
within Klingon space, which apparently this Barg guy,
was using
his influence to prevent the Federation from investigating.
When I was like naming my sound files, and I always tag it at the end with their names. Mm-hmm. For a few of them, I had to rename them because I kept naming them Blarg, and I was thinking like. Barg. That must have been a joke name. Like that has to be a joke name, right? Like making fun of Klingon names. Like Barg. His name is Barg. I mean, like, It's not like something cool. Like it's like Barg. It's like Barg.
Hey, Jesse. Right.
You know, like Barg.
Jesse, Dan is unsatisfied with the reactions we're giving him. But Jesse and I are giving Dan facial reactions. But apparently,
no, I don't have any problems with your reactions. Don't put thoughts into my head.
You just kept saying Barg over and over again.
Yeah, I know, because it's fun to say it. Barg.
I mean, it is fun to say.
That's why you can name your kids that.
It has nothing to do with you guys. I don't give a shit what you think. I just like saying Barg. Barg.
Barg.
Barg.
Barg.
It makes me think of Spaceballs.
Oh, speaking of funny things, Malor kept saying funny shit. Like, he said,
But you would still have to select one of us to die. You'll need a ship, brother. If you are not going back to the Chitah, who will you serve with? Going back to the Chitah.
From like Long Island or something.
But this is what I use to deliver our blood wine. Deliver our blood wine. Blood wine. Blood wine. Deliver our blood wine. Blood wine. Blood wine.
I got the impression they were going little bit in the direction of a Three Stooges, like a Curly.
Well, at the end,
I'm gonna die here, brother.
Hold still,
I'm gonna die here, brother.
It was a little like Hulk Hogan there.
And this
brother.
In this one, this exchange between Mach and Malor.
Why is a human calling you?
I don't care.
I like that there was this classic sort of like they're these Klingons, right? You know, and they got those Klingon warrior ways, but they're still like brothers. They're getting on each other's case, like they're brothers. Like Malor was like playing this video game like the whole time, and then like he kept calling him out on shit when Boimler brought up the ritual of Jathurg or whatever, and then Mach was like, "Oh yeah, I know all about that." He's just bullshitting.
You know more than Jesse and I about this brother business, because Jesse and I,
you have a brother,
we have sisters, so,
right?
Yeah, it's a little bit of a different thing. Anyway, Dan, I don't mean you take a deep breath, but it is break time.
Oh,
so do you mind if we go to break?
When Mach said, I spent many nights here as young, and then Malor interrupted and said, Patak! Yeah. Like, that's total brother move.
Okay. Well, again, you are the podcast advisor with regard to fraternal type situations.
He was laughing at Malor. Malor was laughing at him for losing his captaincy and shaming his family. I mean, that's a bro move right there.
Yeah. I agree. And it was also
But it's funny,
funny
that he thought it was the shaming is the whole family was shamed. He thought it was like funny, hilarious. But like he's in the family.
Yeah,
he's
know,
just
right.
like he was just sitting but there it, the it whole goes time to show, like, he's laughing at everybody.
He's a chill dude. He's like, I don't care. I just want to be on the farm and do my stuff, play my video games.
He's like that younger generation of Klingon, you know.
Yeah. They're more loosey-goosey. Yeah. Loosey-goosey. All right. Well, speaking of loosey-goosey, we've gone over in our first break, and so we've got to take a break. And so when we take that break, we're going to do that in a second, and then when we come back, we have a little bit of a haiku controversy.
That puff in your face.
And then we'll continue our discussion of A Farewell
You're
to...
You're f***ing kidding me?
Of A Farewell to Farms. Okay. Alrighty. Got the timing down this week, don't we? Alrighty.
Farewell to Blarm.
We will be right back.
Oh, you're going to hate Flavor Prison.
This was a really great show.
Okay, that means we're back, I guess. Hello.
What is the point of this nonsense?
All right.
I wonder something. Right.
Do you know who played Barg's voice? It was Colton Dunn.
Yes, and do you know who Colton Dunn is? Shit.
He was in the show Superstore.
He was also in Parks and Recreation as one of the animal control officers with Harris Whittles.
Oh,
with the late and great Harris Whittles.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Colton Dunn is great.
Yeah.
Didn't he also play Barg's brother who killed?
Catch me up here. Okay,
I'm getting into the catch you up position.
Catch him up.
So why did Mach lose his captaincy? They said it was because mutiny shit.
Yeah.
But I don't remember that. I thought he did some heroic shit.
He did.
He killed Barg, right? Because
both times he did heroic shit. So it's just the second time like the people.
And
went
so actually,
him.
At the end of this episode, he took Barg's big targ and he took Barg's brother's targ in the last
Barg
one,
targ.
Right? So doesn't he have both their targs?
Probably. Yeah, he's a good point. Because the original was in the Wage Douge when he was dealing with that was the brother.
Yeah, and he made friends with the targ and he like killed. That was Barg's brother he killed.
That was Barg's brother, and I think
Barg-tar.
His name was like Marg or something. I forget. Yeah.
So,
it wasn't
but,
that, but
so
it was
I thought,
along
and didn't
lines.
He take
was he a Targ-nar?
But my point is Colton Dunn did the voice of the brother as well, if I recall correctly.
Okay, so he took.
If I'm reading Memory Alpha correctly.
So Mach took control of the ship. I was under the impression that it ended with, like, heroically for him, but then it turns out at some point along the way they decided.
Yeah, there was an intervening thing, and I'm not remembering the specifics. It was like last season.
He got honor shame.
Oh, wait, was that when he fought Mariner? Didn't he fight Was that him who fought Mariner one-on-one?
Yeah, they were like, yeah, they were on that planet with the things and the fighting. Okay, and the, you know,
with the things and the fighting.
Stuff
yeah.
happened.
Okay, so that's what happened with there and that thing with yeah. the
with the thing with and the
stuff.
Thing.
Yeah, I remember that was a that. Big targ. Do you yeah. think that's the biggest targ on record? It had four bottom
husks. Dan, I simply do not have enough information to make any sort
it was totally tough.
Estimate.
It had four bottom husks.
Tusks.
Yeah. Husks. Whatever.
Yeah. Okay. So.
Had four of them. Why did they need targ?
Tetra-targ.
Why did they need targ on their blood wine farm?
Maybe to keep the blood worm wolves away.
Oh.
Or something. You know, I was thinking maybe that was the... Or they were milking them. Maybe they were making targ milk.
They could milk. They could eat that shit.
Yeah. Okay.
Is that ethical?
We will get back to the story in a moment. But we did have, as I mentioned...
Oh, yes.
We do have a minor... haiku yes. controversy. Mm. And what the deal is, for those who are unaware, we do have a firm policy that yes. for every review that somebody writes for us on one of the podcast services, Apple Podcasts, Podcast Addict, whatever you like, you write a review, you email us, you let us know. Feedback at discussstartrek.com.
Haiku.
Dan will make a custom haiku for you.
Fine, for you. But do not make a spectacle about it.
When you write a review, okay? Cool. We are all on the same page now.
Or else I like it.
You get an FU.
And now, here's the thing. Our very good podcast buddy, David Joseph Moody, wrote us a review a couple months ago. Mm-hmm. And then he recently added the following to the review.
That was extremely honorable.
Asterisk, asterisk, asterisk. I am updating this review specifically in the hopes that I will get my fracking haiku. Asterisk, asterisk, asterisk. Okay. Okay.
Here's Aren't they wonderful?
Here's the thing. Here's the thing, David. We did do your haiku.
We did. It was one of the first.
It was one of the first haikus.
One of the first haiku.
Haikus for you.
And we will have a clip of that because it was from episode 254.
Was it haiku number two?
254 of the It's Got Star Trek podcast when we discussed Star Trek Voyager's parturition. Now, here's the thing. I'm going to play a clip from our show.
Now, hold on a damn minute.
Now, Dan has pointed out in the past that it can be a little confusing if I'm playing a clip from our show, but we're on our show.
Bear with
now, us. Now, I find that confusion charming.
Nonsense.
But Dan has argued rather convincingly that it may be... A little bit too far on the...
it throws me off every time.
On the aggravating scale for our audience. So tonight, I thought what I'll do is I will add a little flavor to the clip. You know, I'll use the soundboard to add a little bit of an echo.
A little flavor.
So that you can differentiate...
A little cilantro.
The clip from what's currently the show, what we're doing
you
right
play
now.
Games with death, little warrior.
Well, we'll see. It's an experiment. We'll try this out. So I wanted to play the clip... So that David could hear in case he missed it the first time around.
Okay, here it is.
Oh, Jesus.
Based upon David Joseph Moody's name
okay.
that he put for his review, because different people put different names.
See, God. Some people difference. Use a handle.
Yes.
Some Your people use their.
A lever. A lever. A handle.
Is this haiku going to have a pun in it too?
I don't know.
I mean, you should know because you wrote it.
I never thought about it that
this
way.
This is a driving okay. Well, will you read the haiku and let us know?
Here we go.
We'll figure it out.
Journey of Auras. Ocean deep in baritone, breathing with knowledge.
Okay, that's pretty good. So there you go, David. Yeah. We totally did an episode 254.
August 30th or 33rd. Well, it was like August 33rd or something, right?
No. Of this year.
We recorded that episode on August 30th.
Yeah. It came out on August 33rd.
No, it came out on September 2nd.
There's no such date, baby.
Which maybe that counts did as you August
ever,
33rd.
Did you ever read that book, The Month of October? It was about like this month of October and all this and all this awesome shit happened during this month. It was like a kid's book with a hardcover and drawings and stuff. And like it was like a kid's book.
I don't know. I thought maybe you had some
no,
clue,
no.
Jesse.
It was called The First of October. That's what it was called. The First of October. And it looked like a Dr. Seuss style book. It wasn't Dr. Seuss, but it had like all that and told you all about all the awesome shit that happened during October.
Wow.
And when I learned there was no October.
That's interesting.
When I learned there was no October, I was like really sad.
Really?
Anyway, yeah, go on.
That's a bummer, dude. Yeah. Who wrote that shit?
I don't know, but it was okay, like Jesse, a real letdown when it wasn't true.
Please don't encourage him. David.
Is he making that shit up?
David, we hope you enjoyed the haiku. If you want to hear it in full context, because we did provide a lot of other context around that, a much, much longer section of that particular show. So...
See, what I thought this whole time is I thought I somehow offended him, and all this time he's been like stewing and what's it called when you're stewing? Like you're like you're like
chattering.
You know when you're sitting there all like
steaming.
When you're sitting there going like brooding. Isn't there another word for brooding? What are all the words for brooding?
Dan, how about this? You load up the thesaurus.com, although I don't like thesaurus.com these days. They got bought out, so I would prefer the Merriam-Webster thesaurus or the Oxford thesaurus. But you load up whatever thesaurus you'd like to load up. I will continue our discussion of the A-plot
of this episode. I didn't think it was so dramatically as brooding, but I was wondering, I was like, huh, I mean, I don't expect people to give me feedback. Let's make that clear. I don't expect feedback. I don't expect anything from anyone.
Well, I'm going to put my marker down for please send feedback specifically for Dan. And you can do that at feedback@itsgotstartrek.com. Subject line, this is for Dan. Judging Dan's performance. Maybe we might need a separate email
for
that.
This is what I think.
But in the meantime, you can send it to feedback@itsgotstartrek.com. Okay.
I select you to die.
All right. Well, we'll see. Okay.
Jam on it.
So fundamentally, the story sort of starts out with Ma being a prodigal son. You know, it's like a prodigal son, sort of, where he's like, he's gone through some adventures, gone through some challenges. He's come home to the farm. We don't see his mom, but we hear her. And he appears to be almost suffering through a self-penance because of whatever he feels he's dealing with.
Do you notice that he had like some kind of grease stains or something on his clothing, but Malor didn't?
Well, maybe it's because he was doing all the work and Malor was playing
Vidya games, yeah.
Yeah, that was part of the problem I had is that he came back to the farm and he's like, why am I the one stomping all the worms, picking all the worms?
Malor,
he
was stomping all the worms. They were talking about how
drinking all the worms.
Malor got those horns. It's because they ran over a brush devil. He was saying, I killed it. It's like, oh, you ran over it. Two things about that.
I felled it.
That those bones are pretty fucking big. To be hiding in a brush, and B, to be run over in the first place.
Those bones got caught on like, those other bones when they went to the planet.
Like, what kind of brush does that thing hide in,
I hadn't even thought about that.
Exactly. Like, how do you...
That's a big brush.
And it's like, how do you casually run over it and kill it? You must have a really big fucking... like flying
thing. Well, it was a sizable ship.
Well, yeah, well, that van, truck, ship, whatever you want to call it.
Whatever it was.
But the thing about this story with Ma'ah is his story... Mach. His story is very serious. It's like a serious story. And then they surround him with humor with his brother Malor and then with Boimler. Mariner. Like, there's these diversions that are fun, but it's all circling around a pretty intense storyline. Yeah. And I really enjoy that they're able to pull that off. They're just good they're good writers. They're able to cocoon this serious character drama.
Lots of Klingon stuff.
In a bunch of goofy stuff. Not even counting the Miglimos.
Speaking of Mariner, the second time through, I didn't notice until the second time, but during the opening, he got like a call on his comm device.
Yes.
And it was
with
like
the Starfleet symbol.
And he threw it. And that must have been Mariner calling him.
It was. She was calling him the whole time.
Yeah, I know. And I didn't realize
Ferengi scammer.
I didn't even really,
he called it a Ferengi scammer.
I didn't even really notice it the first time because I didn't think to look for it. But second time I did.
Oh. There was like an awesome like combat scene and like stuff was like catching on fire and stuff that was all wild.
Now that you isolated that sounds very similar to the Bleeps, the Sweeps, and the Creeps from Spaceballs.
And then we're gonna have to cut some of this out so we can make it seem like it's back to back.
It's more funny. It's more funny to leave it in. You know,
because they're on different pages.
Put a little dent. Everyone's always like, "Dan's such a genius with the sounds," but it makes more human when sometimes you have some trouble.
Yeah, you don't want it. Humor. I mean, you don't want it to sound too synthetic, right? You want it to have some kind of personality. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Good.
The Bleeps.
Yeah.
pretty much exactly the same rhythm.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
What was it? Riker Fries Enterprise? I can't remember.
Riker Fries.
Riker Fries.
Riker Thighs.
Riker Thighs. Oh. Yay. I got distracted. Oh, there we go. Okay.
It was Riker. Wesley needs phasers, Enterprise, and I said Riker makes faces, Enterprise.
Okay, thank you.
Lisa needs braces, Enterprise.
Thank you for that reminder.
No, man, stop.
So, Boimler, read the room.
We touched on it a little bit earlier with talking about Boimler's beard, bearded Boimler, and the changes in his personality.
Bearded
as a result.
Boimler and the bombastic butt thrower.
The thing is,
damn, dude,
what's so great is that this is funny. It is amusing to see Boimler being all in his quote unquote Klingon phase,
yeah,
as Mariner puts it. But it makes perfect sense, right? It makes absolute sense that, especially in conjunction with his beard, he's imagining, he's perceiving that he believes that by growing the beard, he'll become braver. And in the process, he's just willing himself to do more and more ridiculous stuff.
What's the thing about Boimler from earlier seasons? It was like a...
Brave Boimler? What was it?
Something kind of brave
Bold Boimler. It was Bold Boimler. Yeah, that was what he was all about.
Like, I don't think he gave that up, really.
So. Yeah, he never did. I mean, and Boimler always was brave.
Yeah.
He had some insecurities, but it does seem that those insecurities are going by the wayside.
It was interesting that both Boimler and Mariner could navigate through, like, Klingon culture, but for different reasons.
Yes.
Whereas Mariner, like, knows how to navigate, like, the Klingon emotional landscape. Mm-hmm. Boimler was, like, not trying to navigate it. He was trying to face it head on and be the target of it.
Okay.
So he wanted to experience it. Like he wanted to absorb the whole thing, whereas she like was like knew how to like be cool with everybody. But they both seemed to be get away like just fine because like they were cool. What? It's funny that Mariner, who's all undisciplined, gets like really along really well with Klingons.
She has a lot of Klingon friends.
The dude that threw up his blood wine. By the way, I wish I could get a Klingon hangover where it's like you can like be hung over and puking blood wine and be like, oh, that's so crazy. You know, because anytime I've had a hangover, I'm never like, oh, man, that's silly fun. You know,
sometimes it was like
a hangover.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's like, oh, I'm such a scamp.
If you have a hangover so bad.
I drank too much.
He had a hangover so bad that he puked on the job. That should be a sign of a problem.
Do think, generally speaking, it's considered a problem. I don't know about in Klingon culture.
But that was that guy. Was that the same guy that got drunk during that whole Lower Decks episode
town? That was Corin. He was from season one, episode two, the second episode ever, Envoys, which was it was a really fun introduction to, I mean, not introduction technically to Mariner because it was episode two, but it was where we started learning a little bit more about Mariner's level of talent and expertise.
And that's Korn's played by Jess Harnell, who, if you look at his IMDb picture, he looks like a rock star weirdo person.
So like Boimler was like messing with those dudes like knife darts or something.
Yeah.
And then like,
oh, what were all?
Was he just like being annoying, or did he like was?
Were you? I mean, when he got thrown,
it's not clear exactly. He was over there, and he was like fingering their shit, and like, and it was clear they got annoyed, and then like
he
came back, and his eye was all swollen. He's like, I actually got thrown by something.
Yeah, you see him get thrown.
I wanted to know why he got thrown too. I want to know that I was trying to look it up, and I didn't look too long. But like that kind of Klingon knife that looks that's got the blades in all directions. Yeah, that looks like it's meant to be.
It wasn't like a mechlith. I don't think it was something. It was something else. I don't know if it's got a proper name or not.
I'm just gonna look up Klingon knives.
Write in at feedback@itsgotstartrek.com.
Are you gonna look at Chakotay?
Klingon knives.
No, that's for scripts, bro.
KlingonKnives.com. All right. Yes. We talked about Colton Dunn, but did you know who played Kalara? Who was the Klingon who was hitting on Mach?
Was that the same actor that does the Klingon lady on Discovery?
That's right, Mary Chivo.
She plays
Laurel.
Laurel.
Yeah. So, and she's great as Laurel, and I thought she was really great as Kalara.
It was an interesting scene. It was kind of funny. And she was into him the whole time. She was into him, whether he was a captain or not a captain, until he was hanging out with Mariner. Yeah. She was all disgusted.
She took his hat. Guy. She was wearing his hat. It was like a silly farmer hat.
Yeah, I mean, what crawled up her boob window and died?
Yeah. Fantastic.
Boob window.
Yeah. They're referring to that part that they always wear that, like, because it's
the Klingon,
like,
boob window.
Like they show the cleavage, but it goes up at the top. So it's like a circle hole instead of just being like cut at the top.
A circle hole?
It's a circle hole.
Right.
A circle hole.
It's a circle hole.
It's
a really interesting hole.
We got to go through these challenges. Again, serious story, but they added the comedy and they included a good Star Trek style message about teamwork and friendship and listening to your teammates and all that other good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But the first one, of course, was the pain stick business, which is like what we saw with Worf on TNG, had to go through the pain stick thing at some point. Although this seems to be a more advanced, slightly more advanced, complicated version.
Okay, so
it's a lot of voltage.
So I'm wondering, like, okay, the solution Boimler had is they all got connected to each other, so they'd spread out the voltage among them. I'm not 100% sure. Yeah, I would feel like it would take more mass to spread out like that, the voltage, than just a few of them.
Maybe they used a neutrino.
You, Jesse, and me, we all should test this.
No.
After the podcast is over, we'll hold hands and stick a fork in one of the receptacles. How's that?
I thought Boimler. I like Boimler's point about, like, or when Boimler said, "I love Klingon bureaucratic minutiae," because that is a good point. Because for this warrior race, they have all these rules and like ways of getting around shit. Like Worf, when it's like if you die in battle, you go to Sovokor. But like Worf, like, injured himself, and so if you go through this ritual, it's like you can lawyer your way up to Sovokor.
There's like a council and stuff.
So there's all these like little bylaws and rules you have to remember.
Which makes sense if you have a warrior society and you really want to keep that going. You kind of need to set up a whole bunch of barriers to that shit.
Yeah.
But speaking of Worf going asking Riefer to kill him.
Riefer
to fill him.
I thought you were going to say, like, speaking about Worf going ham. But that's not what you said. You were referring to when Worf had an empty plastic jug fall on him and it broke one of his spines.
One of those funny boxes.
So at one point, Mariner says to Mach, she says, it isn't honorable to give up your life for no reason. This is when Mach says that when he has to sacrifice his crew, he's like, I'm going to sacrifice myself instead. And she's like, you know, it's not honorable to give up your life for no reason. But isn't that kind of like what Worf was doing when he sacrificed his life for no reason? Like, when he wanted Riker to... You know what I'm saying? Like, if you sacrifice...
Yeah, but that wasn't for no reason in the Klingon context.
But in this context, it would be for the sake of honor, right? Like, if you had to sacrifice one of your crew and you sacrificed yourself...
I see what you're
wouldn't
saying.
Couldn't that also feasibly fall under the umbrella of, like, dying for honor? Or is it like... Or is it a coward's way out that you were too weak to be able to have the strength to kill one of your own crew or something? You're too weak.
Maybe let me know what the question is.
You're too weak to be able to like kill the one you love and shit like that.
Please back up for a second because I'm confused by the question, because what you're saying that Mach wanted to kill himself for honor, just like Worf. So there is no difference.
Well, so the reason Mach was supposed to kill one of his crew members.
Yes.
And he was like, I won't kill my crew member, I'll kill myself.
Yes.
Now, my question is that considered honorable because you're killing yourself because of Klingon rule, or is that like weak because you didn't kill a loved one instead?
No, I think it's considered honorable. I think Klingons are still like not about like murdering their friends and family if they can help it.
Right.
Right? They're about sacrifice and all that.
Although that move, like
unless you're talking about a Duras. You're talking about one of them Duras people, and that goes all the way back, generations back, to Enterprise time. They are all pieces of shit. It is a weird theory. It is really odd that Star Trek, which is supposed to be all progressive, puts forward a theory of genetic assholery in the Duras line. Like, specifically the Duras line, going way back, they're all tangled up with Romulans and all sorts of other motherfuckers. Yeah. Anyway, just a side note about that.
I thought that the whole... trickery Boimler did where, like, so Mach had to sacrifice his own crew member, so Boimler was like, well, just do the rite of conscription to Barg, that way you can make him your crew member.
They used to have that back in the late 60s and early 70s in the United States.
Okay, I'm not done yet. Not done.
I was making a Vietnam War.
I know. I know. Joke. You could, but yeah, but that I was. I was in the middle of saying.
They were in the middle of Saigon.
That's the perfect time to interject.
I was in the middle of saying something. In the middle of the jungle.
All right, sorry. Of course. Yes.
Okay.
Please.
I was describing the whole situation. Yes. Now I'm gonna have to start over again.
I understand. I accept that. The audience at home, they accept it as well.
Okay. So Boimler, Mach had to, in order to pass.
What a great show!
So in order to pass the test, Mach had to sacrifice one of his own crew members. So what Boimler was like saying, he's like, use the right of conscription against Barg, so you make him one of your crew members, so you can sacrifice him and do an old reversal move
Hell
on him.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty sneaky.
That was like a blue deck move. And the other people on the council were like, "Yeah, like, go for it. We'll back it up."
That was a blue deck move,
if you're blue deck specifically referring to Magic: The Gathering,
or if you're playing Hearthstone, it would be a priest move. But
I'm not playing Hearthstone.
Well, I played Hearthstone. Yeah. I haven't played it in a long time, but I used to.
No, I think it's great.
I'm just saying. We're talking to more than just each other, Patrick. Do you realize there is a whole audience of people out there?
I know, and a surprising number of them have stuck around after the first episode. Okay.
And so
Jesse promised not to do any clinking today. There was three clinks. Three clinks. At least it was any.
It was musical.
It was towards the end of the second break.
It was a nice euphonious
clink. So it took a while for the clinking to start. Okay.
You are the one whose ashes shall pave Grethor.
Anyway, Dan, I apologize. The floor is yours.
Anyways, as I was saying, some people might play Hearthstone and they would get that reference about the priest. Okay, that's all I'm saying.
Good.
Priest is kind of like a blue deck.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good to know. Good to know.
Dig it.
Jesse's just saying, yeah, he's not playing Hearthstone.
I understand the blue deck.
All right.
There was a person named Enaj. That's Jane spelled backwards.
I didn't catch that. Wasn't that the bird people?
Bird.
One of the bird people.
You ate my bird? No, the bird people was Legnog and Gonald.
Well, that was the thing. I thought Enaj was the bird person at the play. Anyway, we're not talking about the bird people yet. Let's conclude our discussion.
No, Enaj was a Klingon.
Was it a Klingon?
Yeah, I think.
Okay. Well, we'll find out more. So if it's a Klingon, it's appropriate to mention here.
Wait a second.
Maybe I brought up the bird people. I thought Enaj was the pink bird lady who was on the Cloacan planet.
You ate my bird.
She was like, welcome.
Gosh, now I don't know.
The episode just came out, so it's hard to know sometimes. IMDb.
What was the oversight council? Was that the Cloacans or was that the Klingons? That was the Klingons.
That was the Klingons. Was the oversight?
Okay,
council.
Enaj was the Klingon.
Was she the other Klingon on the council other than what's his name?
Here's what I'm reading from the transcript. It says you can still be a captain, just not in his crappy fleet.
Because you had Corin, and then you had was that Enaj then?
This is a transcript, they don't always give the names of the speaker. So I'll give you the names of the speaker when they give them. You can still be a captain, just not in his crappy fleet. Klingons cannot simply transfer to a new ship when they please. And then Enaj says, no, they need a 2/3 majority vote from the Oversight Council.
Gotcha. I know.
Laughs menacingly.
Gotcha. I get it. I feel you. I know where you're at. I know where you're landing at.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to land.
Well done. Good. Good little bit of detective work. On that
there were a lot of fucking Klingon words in this episode.
There were. Now, we have a few minutes left before the break, and then we do need to talk about Dr. Miglimo's storyline. So what are some final things about the A-plot here? We talked about the pain sticks and how they resolve that. The Targ business was cute, because it was like a big Targ that they get to keep
big
at the
Targ.
End.
It wasn't fair that like Mach called Malor like a lazy bazoosh or whatever. Malor came up with the idea of like each grabbing a leg of that big Targ, and then Mach was like, "You're a lazy piece of shit," and like that was a good idea. It doesn't matter if he's a lazy piece of shit or not. That's a good idea, but Mach wrote him off just because he thought he judged the person, not his idea.
And it was part of the lesson of the episode.
Yeah,
a sub lesson among other lessons.
Sub lesson.
It's a sub lesson.
That's what I said.
It's a sub lesson.
It's a term coined by Jesse.
Queen. Well, I mean, I can give you, like, you want to hear any Klingon words here?
I do.
Okay.
I do.
So there's, of course, Patak, we know, which is insult. And I've found the closest definitions I could. There's Bagul. The line was, you're late. I've had nothing to serve but Bagul.
It sounds like a Sopranos type thing.
Yeah, I know. That's funny.
Gabagool.
Maybe, I'm probably pronouncing these incorrectly, too. That's like a liquor or ale or something. Then there's, Clara says, I did not expect to see you in this Puch-Gich, or whatever. And that Puch-Gich, that was when she was talking about the bar, and the bartender was like, oh. And the closest I could find for that, it's like a vat or a barrel for storing liquor. So it's probably like, you know, like a shitty bar, you know. Yeah.
And it's a chain bar.
Mm.
Yeah.
You mentioned it was a
chain. Oh, was it?
Yeah.
How could I be?
That was a good joke.
I would be remiss if I didn't mention the Thrash Loot.
You were nearly remiss.
I was the Thrash Loot band. Did you see the Thrash
Loot?
Yeah, they had the Thrash Loot.
There was like a concertina.
There's a concertina.
Yeah, it was, and that was just, by the way, just a normal concertina, which we've seen.
Yeah, I know.
We've seen Klingons play it before, and it is funny because Star Trek spends all this time making these futuristic alien instruments, and they're like, just give him a concertina.
Yeah, I know. He had like some crazy saxophone-looking crazy thing and like some kind of weird violin, but just a regular concertina on this Thrash. But he goes, the Thrash Loot player asked me to watch his performance. So, you are in Parma. Mach with him, so Parmach.
Yeah, looking for Parmach in all the wrong places.
That's
the episode of Deep Space Nine where Worf and Dax start hanging out.
So the closest definition I could find, I didn't search exhaustively, but in my brief search, the Parmach, the closest definition I could find was large game animal indigenous to Konos. Mm. So maybe making Parmach is like having hot animal sex.
That's how it's used.
Yeah, of course.
Any other Klingon words before we head to
the
break?
Hunt.
Yeah, there is.
Oh, sh**. If it isn't my old Chadich.
Chadich.
We've heard that a number of times.
Yeah, that means, it's like, literal means like your aide or your second, your second in command.
That goes back to the old TNG days.
There's one called like Urwi Pew. It's apostrophe U-R-W capital I apostrophe P-U apostrophe. Are they just taking shit from Klingon dictionaries at this point? Like where?
I hope
What episodes are they referencing with this? And why?
That particular one, I don't know. The Chadich, I know.
Yeah,
the Parmach,
I know.
Chadich nuts.
But the one you're talking about, no idea.
And I want to know the significance of capital letters. Why have a capital I in the middle of the word? I don't know. It must mean something. Anyway, Urwp means like, the line was, this is the bar where Martok killed 12 Urwipu. It means traitor. There's just a couple more. There was the part where he said, experience Beej. Experience Beej.
Yeah.
Beej. Right. You Beej. Experience Beej.
Experience Beej. You experience Beej.
Beej is punishment. There's Lujwi Pew. Are these
double dumbass on you?
There's Lujwi Pew. It says Barg laughs at the test takers and says, "Look at these Lujwi Pew." Basically, it means losing streak or losers. I think there's like one or two more. There's lazy hikad. You are a lazy hikad. Hik is a liquor ale. Odd can mean have the length of or it means vein. So like a vein of liquor. Someone else suggested it means blood vessel. So I don't know.
Yeah,
so maybe a liquor vein just means like a drunken like someone who's like full of their veins are full of booze and they can't do anything. I don't know. There's chatlich. It was
this is chaki.
Chaki. Spelled C H T L A H. And that just means nonsense or balderdash.
Balderdash.
And there's
malarkey.
And there's one more. There's one more.
Both of you have proven your Todooj.
Just means courage.
All right.
So there we go. A little lesson in Klingon.
Well, thank you, Dan. That was great. And,
thanks, dude.
That sets us up very nicely to go on a brief break. And then when we return, we can conclude our discussion of this episode. What do you guys think about that?
Yeah, man.
All right.
Is that ethical?
Yeah, I believe it is. We'll find out how that conversation goes when we get back right after the break. All right, we are back.
Then prepare for Stovacore.
Ah!
Don't mind if I do.
Jesse actually asked me before the show if there was a particular clip. I know we're moving on, but there's a particular clip.
Oh, no, that's fine.
From Malore that you were asking about earlier. about near the end of the episode.
You mean before the podcast? Yes.
Before the podcast.
Before the podcast started
before
recording.
Before the podcast. Yeah.
We were just hanging.
Yeah.
Help, brother. I fell on the bones. Fell on the bones. I can't feel my leg. Yeah. Fell on the bones. I can't feel my leg. Fell on the bones. I can't feel my leg. Fell on the bones. I can't feel my leg. Fell on the bones. I can't feel my leg. Fell on the bones. I can't feel my leg. Fell on the bones. I can't feel my leg.
All right. It's always one too many. it's like literally one too many.
He's all like, I'm going to die.
I also have one.
I think that's one of the best beats that I've found.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
Now you just got to actually.
Yeah. He made it. He made it good.
Add some business to it.
Woohoo!
I will also conclude our discussion of the A plot, the Klingon plot, by positively commenting about the continued persistent use in Lower Decks of the light purple Klingon blood, which was something that began in Star Trek VI, because in Star Trek VI, I guess there was some sort of worry about the ratings, so they, instead of having red blood, they had pinkish-looking blood.
And it was floating around in big globs.
Yes.
In the,
oh, yeah, sort of, that's right.
Usually they didn't do that in other Star Treks, like in TNG and stuff like that, but Lower Decks has always been like, no, Klingons, it's canon.
That dude
Klingons
got
have,
stabbed.
They got some purple-ass pink purple blood, and it's great.
It's tight.
Good. Okay, now we can get into the Migley Moe's Delectable Dilemma. The B-plot.
As plorpful as those in a Nara Prime.
Plorpful.
Now, as I mentioned
last
week.
It's like a
word
that you would say.
I know, right?
As I mentioned last week, I'm a diehard piss pig.
Piss pig.
This makes Dan uncomfortable.
For Migley Moo?
No, yeah, well, because, yes, exactly, because last week I brought it up because Lauren Lapkus, who plays plays Jennifer, the Andorian, she is part of the podcast Threedom, along with Scott Aukerman and Paul F. Tompkins. Right.
Oh, this human is full of worms.
He's the Migley
Moe. And he plays Dr. Migley Moe, and he's also one of the hosts, along with Tawny Newsom, of the official Star Trek podcast.
Shit.
And I love Paul F. Tompkins. He's one of my favorite people ever. Yes, and Piss Pig is a term of endearment for fans of Threedom.
You dare insult me, human!
So it was fun to see that, because I love Paul F. Tompkins and I love Dr. Migley Moe. He's one of my favorite characters introduced on Lower Decks, because he's absurd but is interesting. He's got a pathos to, right? There's something going on there that's beyond just the buffoonery.
It's a weird society,
even though he is a buffoon, and we learn a lot. There's a lot of world building for the Cloacans, really? Which is
okay.
A hilarious joke.
Yes.
Because you know what a cloaca is, right?
Right. Okay. The names. Okay. All I could think of when I heard the names Legnog, I thought of
Legnog.
I thought of a combination of eggnog and foghorn leghorn.
Exactly. Yes. Exactly, sir.
And Gonald, I thought of Donald Duck.
Or gonads.
Or gonads. Yes, I did think of that too.
Yeah.
And cloacan, all I thought of was the Joe
it's a cloaca.
But like, it's spelled K-H-A-N.
Yes,
so
they
I thought,
spell it fancier.
No, but I thought
but they
of,
pronounce it cloaca.
No, I know.
They got fancy asses.
But I'm saying, I was also reminded of Khan, as in like, you know, that guy in Star Trek Khan.
You mean in Space Seed and Star Trek II,
because
The Wrath of Khan?
Because it's spelled K-L-O-W-A-K-H-A-N.
Seti Alpha 5.
I see.
This is Seti Alpha 5!
So do you think it was a reference to Khan?
No, I think it was primarily the cloaca joke.
I just think like I felt like they got these names like, they just pulled them out of the air. They were just like, they just thought of whatever.
That's the best way to do it, man.
I bet you it took a week to come up with these names. A week in the writer's room. And for...
This is Jockey!
For those who are unfamiliar with bird biology.
You ain't my bird.
Cloaca is something common to birds and some lizards and some other things.
This is my boy voice.
But birds tend to usually have cloacas, and a cloaca is sort of like
it's like a bird sex organ.
Sort of a general-purpose asshole.
Yeah, it's an innie and an outie hole.
Well, they use it for
pee,
well, they use
poo
it for,
and sex.
They use it for sex and grinding gravel.
And well, and
no,
pee
that's
and poo.
A gizzard.
No, the gizzard grinds the gravel, but
no, the cloaca grinds the gravel, but they also have sex, so they have to be
the
careful.
Koiga grinds
so they,
the gravel.
So they have to be careful not to mix up those actions so it doesn't grind the genitals of the creature
it
trying to
grind
have
sex. Your nuts.
I mean, I get where you're going with this, but I also kind of don't.
I don't think that happens.
I should kill you for those words.
I think you're projecting.
We would like to. Well, okay, I don't know what that means, but we would like to provide some education for our audience. I think most people who are listening to this show are totally aware of what a cloaca is, but if
this human is full of words.
If not, definitely you gotta go check it out. Go look on the Google or the ChatGPT.
Google Dan Glowitz.
Type in cloaca is what I'm getting at. Okay.
You would behave like month-old gach, and not in a good way.
And as we mentioned earlier, part of what makes this B story so great is that it's so dumb. It's such an absurd concept from top to bottom.
Yeah.
That first that they've introduced this idea that the Cloacans have this obsession with food. Now, we already saw that with Dr. Miglimo, but that up to this episode, that could have merely been a personal characteristic of Dr. Miglimo himself. We now learn that it is a part of his culture.
Like the critics are like officials of their society.
Yes, and that they have this obsession with food.
Yeah, so they have... they have the great seating chart. They have if you're punished by getting put in the book of the flavorless, there's flavor prison.
There's no butter.
And then and we learned that did Miglimu ever puff up before when he was upset?
We've
or
seen
anxious?
Him puff up. At least once.
He has puffed up. Yeah.
It seems like the kind of thing
it wasn't as comical as like two of them going like
it seems like the kind of thing you wouldn't even really have to explain with any exposition what it meant. It was very obvious that them puffing up meant.
Yeah.
But it was just kind of what makes it part of what makes
they're
it funny.
Birds.
They're birds.
And again, Lower Decks doing what the animated series did so well, the animated series, which is utilizing the fact that they can go much further out there, as the kids say, far out.
I say that.
Then the live action shows, even modern live action shows, have limitations of budget and practicality and what they can pull off in terms of CGI and masks and changing the proportions and stuff of aliens. And so in Lower Decks, we get to see a character like Miglimo, who it's not impossible to produce in live action, but would be a fairly heavy lift to do it well.
Ooh, yes.
And
here
he just integrates right in. Yes. And then he has all these great lines like,
he's
I cook the mind.
Feathers.
He refers to himself as a chef of the mind.
Yeah.
Okay. So there's one line that.
And of course, the yeasty lump of loaf. A yeasty lump of loaf of an idea.
A yeasty lump loaf of an idea.
Lump loaf, yes.
So there was one line that was, I kind of like found questionable.
Okay.
It was the part where Miglimu says, a cloacan without a sense of taste is no cloacan at all. That's ableist.
I mean, it is. Mm. And we see that
it's part of their culture.
So what if you're a cloacan that did
birds? It's a birdy bird world.
Well, that's a good question.
Yeah, that's a good.
Do they eat birds?
Birds on
birds are pretty tasty.
I mean, but like if you're a cloacan bored without taste buds, then you're pretty much ostracized from their culture. That's not cool.
The impression we're getting is that it's a shitty culture. They live in a shitty culture. Because I agree,
they have
it
cloacas.
Is ableist.
So
Dr. Miglimo is sensitive to these things, and we've seen him be sensitive to this type of stuff before.
So is it only Starfleet? That's like all like, you know, super advanced culturally and monetarily, like it's a post-scarcity society, but in Klingon you have Darsex, so, and then you have like
I think that they only
gold
won,
you have so. Gold pressed Latinum, and then we know the Orions like jewels, and then we know the Cloacans are ableist. Like, is it only Starfleet that are the progressive ones?
The Federation,
so, or Federation, I'm sorry, you're right, Federation.
We have on various occasions noted that as much as we do like Star Trek and we're like, oh yes, it'd be great to be living in peace and stuff, when you get down to it, and Deep Space Nine was one of the few areas that sort of self-examined the Federation in this way. When you get down to it, the Federation is very Western, specifically American-centric.
Chief O'Brien!
It has sort of colonial...
Kind of a NATO
attitudes, disguised as, oh, we just love to explore and learn, but sometimes when push comes to shove, they're like, oh, we're gonna fucking explore this shit. Mm.
We're dangerous.
Yes, they are.
Finders keepers.
And so I think... Dan, yeah, I think that is a more subtle flaw.
Subtle body.
Sometimes it's a flaw that comes up in Star Trek. If you analyze its philosophical perspective, the foundation upon which it's sitting, it does have a very pro-Western, pro-American, sort of pro-colonial, intellectual colonialism in a way.
Yeah. Is that ethical?
Neoliberal.
Yes, it is. It is sort of neoliberal in a lot of ways, in the proper sense of the term.
Well, what are you talking about? That's not a real thing.
What are you talking about? Those aren't cooking words.
It is. Look up neoliberalism and be upset.
They did that this episode. I've pointed out in another episode, I pointed this thing out where they said a phrase twice and they did it again this episode with those two clips I just played.
All right.
They begin, like, I'll play them again.
Well, okay. What are you talking about? That's not a real thing.
What are you talking about? Those aren't cooking words.
They did that same structure. What are you talking about? Ba ba da ba da. Twice.
What are you talking about? What are you talking about?
That's how they talk in Arizona.
Yeah, that's a good King of the Hill joke. Mm-hmm. Bobby Hill.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You look a cock!
What are you talking about?
What is the point of this nonsense?
I ask myself that nearly every day.
Interestingly, some of the most delicious Star Trek food ever has happened in a cartoon in this episode.
Yes.
That meat looked delicious.
It
with
looked
the
amazing.
Mac cheese. Yes, it did.
And then
I wanted to eat it.
The cherry goo.
Yeah, it was like a cherry compote.
And there was like some, it was like, was it macaroni or scalloped potatoes?
It was macaroni with breadcrumbs.
It looked
breadcrumbs
so good.
On top.
Yeah.
Let's eat food. Let's eat all the food.
But they didn't even mention the cherry stuff, but that you could see it. Yeah. You didn't even need to mention. And there was like a cherry on top of the steak.
But yeah, like birds are into like vomited millet and shit. So it's funny that So it's funny that these guys
sounds like a heavy metal band.
Are all into food.
Well, you know, they don't have any teeth.
I think that's part of the
joke. Why they have those funny little
I know, but
implements.
but that's why it's funny that they're like so into food.
I know.
You know.
They put it on their tongue. They're like
Oh, they were talking about Starf. Okay, first of all, was there a they were mentioning the carpets when they get in?
Yes,
like,
that's a joke.
Was that a TNG reference?
Let me guess, you never vacuumed the carpet. There's been a whole lot of inside jokes about carpets related to TNG, related to Picard season 3.
I guess we died with the floor.
And part of the joke is that when they remastered the TNG episodes into HD, you could see a lot of things more clearly, including some of the cardboardy stuff, and they would have to put up these panels on some of the screens to avoid reflections of the cameraman, stuff like that. And it's the kind of stuff.
It's true. Yeah, this is.
You don't really notice it on the standard definition, but when they remastered some of these things, they either had to cover up or just leave. And one of those things is you see the carpet and you see the vacuum marks or the lack thereof.
Whoa.
I remember when the HD first came around and people were like talking about,
and by
like,
that we mean high definition.
People were talking about like how it's problematic for like newscasters now and things.
Oh,
like
a lot
that.
Of newscasters lost their jobs. They had to redo all the sets, and it's no joke.
Now hold on a damn minute.
It was in the early 2000s, there were a number of newscasters that didn't get to stick around because they didn't look so great in the
I select team. You to die.
Topper shut stuck around.
Yeah, well, you know, he's a handsome fellow.
Then prepare for Stovacore.
Jesse, you were mentioning the lights. I wanted to bring that up because there was the
okay. Anytime. Anytime.
Oh, this human is full of worms.
So Freeman was talking about how Starfleet lighting was attuned to suit all living beings. Remember that discussion we had before about how the sun on that planet, the fake sun on that, not planet, the cruise ship the size of a moon?
Yeah.
And how they were saying the fake sun is made to make everybody perfectly tan? Mm-hmm. And I suggested it did that through nanobots in the photons.
Yes, and I thought that was crazy.
Yeah, you had a different idea, Patrick. What was your theory?
My idea was just, it's just very adjustable, pixel level adjustments on the lights. And
on the
UV,
sensors?
UVA way. So you just scan, if somebody's walking below you, you can follow along and change the amount of UV rays.
So do you think that's what happened here as well? Do you think that's the same technology for how they were able to attune the light for every creature? Because how would you do that? Because you can't take away light so easily. It's like if you're lighting someone next to you, that light is going to bleed over into your light zone. You know what I'm saying? Like, how do I make
your light zone?
How do I make my light level perfect and your light level perfect?
Wait,
I'm not done.
The light resolution.
I'm not done. Let me finish my question before you start like answering it or telling me what it is I'm asking.
By the way, this is right about on time.
What?
Where I aggravate you.
Yeah, it's
not,
just
not entirely on purpose. Well,
I know you don't on purpose. I'm just saying, this is like sometimes my when I ask a question or make a point, I'm not necessarily going where you think I am. A lot of times I am, but sometimes I'm not.
I get it, and I'm just saying, and it's so, usually around an and hour so and 15
if you
minutes
want to clarify, I'm happy for you to clarify what I'm going to say.
All right.
But just wait a second.
Marking the time.
Okay, so let's say Jesse and I are standing next to each other. I like it super. I like it super bright. He likes it super dim.
Not true.
That's not the point.
Experience beige! You experience beige!
Jesse, this is merely by way of illustration.
Yes, I know. Yeah.
Illustrating
okay.
His point.
So I like it really really light. Jesse likes it really dark. And Jesse's standing right next to me. How
Turn
are
off
they...
the lights, baby.
Jesse, please! Please, Jesse.
I'm trying to help.
It's not helping. Okay. It's not helping.
He's the operative term, trying.
It's like, if I told you about this, I get so anxious trying to finish sentences. I feel like I have to rush to the end of them. That's why I get so worked up, because I'm like, am I going to get to the end of this before everyone tries to derail everything I'm saying? You know, these things, these questions and these statements, and then you complain to me, you're like, dude, it takes you forever to make a point. It's like, no, it doesn't take me that long.
By the way,
you make it take a long time.
I don't think we've ever complained about that.
You have. You have done it.
I have no recollection.
You like throw molasses at me and then call me slow.
Well said, sir.
Yes, absolutely.
Anyway, okay. So if Jesse likes it dark, I like it light. We're standing right next to each other. How is the light going to satisfy us both? Because the light from my brightness is going to bleed over into his darkness. That's all I was saying.
I get it. I'm just suggesting.
See how quick that could have been?
I'm just suggesting that in the future, the resolution of the light may be sufficient so that whatever bleeding over is minimal, because they do have very pinpoint accuracy.
I think they use...
And it's more, in that example, it was more about the UV and not just the light. Although,
yeah, but
it still counts. But I get it.
Yeah, and I see what you're saying for that one, but I'm talking about... This is the one I'm talking about for this episode.
Yeah, for
and
that,
that's
no,
why
no, no, no,
I bet they use nanobots to use cloaking technology to reflect and refract the light. And
I get it. You're into the nanobots. That's fine. And you can every episode you can come up with a reason why there should be nanobots.
I pass wind.
And there were nanobots in the last episode.
I've expressed thousands of anal glands.
He works on a farm. Dude.
Absolutely, yeah. All the time.
I pass wind.
Yeah.
Nanobots is a cool word, and it's fun to think about.
Yeah, it is.
So where were we, Miglimo?
We were talking about food.
The
carpet,
blob, the blobfish, the blobfish.
Oh
was
yeah,
the other food.
And,
that
and,
also
and
looked good.
Tandy was like cutting up ingredients like for real. Like,
yeah,
it was all like these perfect little cubes.
Yeah, because it had
this hogfish galantine has turned out as plorpful as those in a Nora Prime.
Yeah, I like because Tendy's assassin skills let her dice up the food well, and then
yeah.
Like Rutherford's like attachment or whatever you call it, implant. Yeah, that made it, he could figure out like the molecular makeup of the food to make sure it was cooked right.
Yeah.
They complement each other really well in that respect.
Absolutely,
yeah.
Another example like in the A plot of showing the benefits of teamwork and ingenuity and trusting in your friends and all that.
Woohoo!
Now,
yee!
You didn't happen to grab the clip of Miglimo referring to when he was being criticized by the people. What was the line about strange new foods? You know the whole.
Oh,
but
a few chowders.
Yeah, because Miglimo has a thing where he says, "I've discovered a few chowders."
Oh,
right? They said you should be. Have you not discovered any new soups or stews? And he said, "I've discovered a few chowders."
Yeah, he says, "Shouldn't you be discovering new soups and stews? I've encountered a few chowders."
Yes. Now, I don't know if you have any clips of that.
I have nothing about chowder in it.
Nothing about it. Okay.
Yeah.
So I bring that up to mention that is a bit of an inside joke.
All I have is this.
These oysters aren't delicious. They taste like sh**.
And then, of course,
this hogfish galantine has turned out as plorpful as those in a Nara Prime.
So those are...
And this one.
The mine.
Yeah. So those are not related to what I'm talking
about. But they're food related.
No, but Dan, while Jesse gathers himself, I must point out that physician heal thyself, because you are now committing the same infraction that I was committing earlier.
Nonsense.
With you, because
Nonsense.
You had assumed You knew where I was going, but you got it wrong.
I would
because
say
because I'm speaking about a very specific line.
Okay, I would say 50%. I'll agree with you, but you did mention chowders, and so you're asking what sounds I had. And I was simply trying to find the sound closest to what you were looking for,
I appreciate that. I gotta say, I do appreciate that. The reason why I was looking specifically for the soup, stews, and chowders lines was because that is an Easter egg. Ooh. For Paul F. Tompkins, because one of his more popular Comedy Bang Bang characters is a fellow by the name of Chunky Bubbles, who's a clown who does kids performances. He performs for kids, except his whole deal is that he uses a variety of soups, stews, and chowders in his act. And so his name is Big Chunky Bubbles. And a lot of the kids get burned from the stew, it's a very funny, very funny kid.
Oh. So
if you want to hear more about Big Chunky Bubbles or hear more of Paul F. Tompkins talking about soups, stews, and chowders, go look up Comedy Bang Bang, any episode where Big Chunky Bubbles is on.
Especially the live episodes.
I bet they already know.
You're like president of the Paul F. Tompkins fan club.
I love Paul F. Tompkins. He's fantastic.
He's
just a charming fella.
I have to correct something about what I said earlier. When I said Cloakans was spelled Cloakahan, thus sounding like Khan from Star Trek, I was wrong. Mm. It's Cloahkans, so nothing to do with Khan.
So the H and the A are transposed?
H and the K. Yeah, so nothing to do with Khan from...
So it's spelled more like Khan as opposed to Khan, because you can spell Khan, A-H, but then there's Khan, K... There's K-H-A-N, but there's also K-A-H-A-N.
No, I said the H and the K are reversed. It's not K-H-A-N, it's H-K.
H-K. That's something completely different.
Yeah, that's totally fucked.
It has nothing to fucking do with it.
Not even close to Khan from Star Trek 2.
Not even fucking remotely close. Okay.
Salty Elvis.
Any other points about this excellent episode of Star Trek?
I think Migley Moo should have known that replicated food wasn't going to cut it. For the food critics.
But they were faking it.
But he didn't know that, you know.
But he chose like the best replicated food.
Yeah, but it's replicated.
Possible.
You should have known that they want the real thing.
I don't think it's that bad. I think everybody always makes a big deal.
I'm sure replicated food tastes fine. I'm just saying that if you're a food connoisseur, not necessarily that you're going to be able to taste the difference, but you might. And plus, the idea of wanting something in its original form, I can understand that novelty.
Yeah. But to be fair, as he noted, he is not a chef. He is a chef of the mind. Not a chef of food. He's a chef of the mind.
I cook the mind.
I live by the ancient ways. I take my honor to the grave.
I like that you're playing some sort of clips. You had definitely given me the impression you were about to play the chef of the mind clip. And you've tricked us. Tricked me. You've tricked all of us. Okay.
No, I don't actually have that clip.
Well, that's quite all
right. I have this.
I have something in mind.
That has the word mind in it.
Wow. Fantastic.
What about the lips?
No, let's not get into that. That was a commercial break thing, and that's not a main podcast thing. Okay, well, check out our Patreon. Maybe you'll hear it somewhere there. Okay, that's it. Any final thoughts about this episode before we close up shop here?
Wow, we're ending early today.
No, it's not early.
No, it's about on time.
No, I just know how fucking long it takes when I say it's time to end. I know you're gonna be like, I forgot, I have a whole game. I have a duty or no duty. I have a list of 12 times Klingons farted.
Whenever I ask if I can play those clips, you're always like, I'd love to hear them, Dom.
Yes, because I would. I'd love to hear them, Dom. I'm saying that now so we're not like, oh, we aim for 90 minutes, and then it's like at 95 minutes, you're like, oh, by the way. I have this really fucking interesting shit that I just held back this whole time.
Fair enough. But speaking of no duty or no duty, I've noticed that there's been no duty or no duties lately. Do you think they must have gotten embarrassed that I caught them in this game so many times?
I think Mike McMahon's been listening.
They stopped including the word duty in their show?
I think Mike McMahon, because of last season, so many duties or no duties, and just listening to our podcast generally across all of Star Trek, I think Mike McMahon, you're probably right. The most plausible thing is that Mike McMahon, maybe not even embarrassment, maybe he just set a challenge to the writers when they got into the fifth season writing room. And he said, let me set a challenge to you, writers. let us not say the word duty or duty.
Well, does he listen to the podcast?
Presumably.
He could have just...
I mean, who doesn't?
He could have...
Who doesn't listen to the podcast?
podcast. He could have just told the actors to pronounce it duty, but then who can trust an actor, right? Oh, by the way, Patrick,
yeah. They're like cattle.
Patrick, you were just guilty of finishing my thought. Answering my question before I was done. I was asking about the duty or no duty. You started answering it before I was done. It just so happened that you were right this time, but that's beside the point. Yeah. The point is we speak full sentences here on the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
Might makes right.
You did it again.
Might makes right.
No, it's might for right. June Ree says might for right.
June Ree, nobody bothers me.
Yeah, might for right.
Nobody the local bothers
local taekwondo.
Me.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying full sentences.
Okay, now let's get back to the main point, which is there something else? Are we expecting something else, or are we done? It's making me a little uncomfortable how hard you're thinking about this. Scanning up and down your...
Where'd the name Miglimu come from, you think? Just came from...
It just sort of rolls off the tongue.
Yeah.
I think Patrick said earlier that he was like, we're going to get to that later, but I think he just meant the B-plot.
Yes.
Yeah, the B-plot. I didn't mean the name. I don't know. A writer came up with a name, presumably. Some sort of writer. Some sort of professional writer.
Yes.
I don't think
A paperback writer, perhaps?
Paperback writer.
All right. So thinking.
Oh, the transcript. One of the transcripts, not both of the transcripts, but one of them I saw, they censored the word killed. They replaced the I in killed with an asterisk. LLED.
When was killed mentioned? You mean it was a line of dialogue? Or
what about
it was
when they said shit? It smells like shit.
They didn't actually say that. They said Mock killed Barg's brother. They put one of the transcript sites. This has nothing to Chakotaya because they don't have the newer ones. Yeah. This is just a transcript, but one of them censored that for some reason. And then the other part when they said anal glands, they didn't just censor one of the letters, they censored two of them. They spelled anal glands A**L glands. Why would they censor those two words? That's just immature.
Of Puritanism.
That's just immature because anal glands are a fucking real thing that people have to deal with.
Animals have those.
You know? Things. So why would you censor that? And killed? Get out of here. Remember when that Sublime song...
You got a targ? Express them anal glands.
Remember that Sublime song when they're like, Daddy's got a new 45? They would censor out 45.
Oh, yeah. Shit.
Okay, now I'm done. I'm done.
All right. Well, now that Dan is done...
Excellent, excellent!
Jesse and I will also conclude our portion of the show.
I conclude.
Yeah.
Don't make me laugh.
Thank you very much. We hope you enjoyed that. We certainly did. Next week.
Infinitely.
Next week, we will continue our coverage of Star Trek Lower Decks, fifth and final season, with the episode titled Starbase 80?
What?
Ooh. There's a question mark, so you got to stress the question mark.
Hey.
Starbase 80? Who knows what that's going to be about? I bet it'll be interesting. We've been hearing about Starbase 80 for almost the whole show, so something to look forward to.
Right? It was the trash base.
I don't think they went to Starbase 80.
They're always talking about Starbase 80
They've referenced it, but I don't think we've actually seen it, but I could be wrong. Anyway, if you would like to get in contact with us, you can certainly write in to feedback@itsgotstartrek.com.
Do you think that means they respect me?
I don't know. I don't know, Boimler. You can find us on most social media, @It'sGotStarTrek. We'd love to interact with you. And again, lots of people heading over to Blue Sky, so if you have not done so yet, why don't you check it out? But we are on Mastodon, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter,
Apple Podcasts
for a little bit anyway, Thread, wherever you like, come interact with us. We love to talk with you all and let us know what we got wrong.
Fine, but do not make a spectacle about it.
All that other good stuff. We look forward to hearing from you in the intervening time.
But I like it.
Otherwise, you'll hear from us again about the same time next week.
Smell you.
I refuse.
With that, we wish you all the best. Bye-bye.
Oh! We should get out of here. We did it.
Yeah, we did it. Totally. Yay.
It is a delicious honor, your graces.
A Kloakin in Starfleet? Shouldn't you be discovering new soups and stews?
I've encountered a few chowders.